So here we are on Book Little C, beginning October 27th, 1972, and going on through February, so about 4 months, February of 73. Attempt beginning with attempts at improving the new FC Gamma 2 method to make the constant region. And continuation of B143. 0 degrees Papin digest after gamma 2 with a comment, it's an odd result. Query due to the dialysis or due to the gel? And not clear what the difference is when looking. The column has obviously worked. And check on the crystallization of products and on October 30th, Monday, page 7, the supernatant and the wash crystal, and supernatant and the wash crystals, and there's a big fat band and a couple of other bands as well, but clearly one fat band. Clear that the small batch, the fast crystallization, cleans up the product better than the slow. One was the fast crystallization, and one was slow crystallization. And from the two experiments, they don't look very different at this point. there's the comment. Cleans up the product better than the slow! Or at least as well. So that's what it looks like now. Doesn't look any different. So A1 versus A2 test FC0 to FC1 through 5. Cannot understand, and that's what I've been struggling with in looking at these results. I cannot understand the heterogeneity of FC1 through 4. At the same time as FC0, thus B152 gel with B139 start shows identical pattern as shown by the experiment down to very B133 bulk A1, so that's B139 versus B133 down to very fine details, and neither shows what I call FC0. I can't understand it. So I'm trying to solve that problem with a different samples being compared on a gel in page 10 and 11. But some extra A1, A2, gamma 2 room temperature was put to ice after setting up the gel, and A2 crystallized, but A1 did not. So they were easy to crystallize, some of them more than others. But A2 crystallized, whereas A1 did not. Continue with crystallization on page 13, November 1st. Different crystallizations, and a gel showing the results of the crystallization. Recover the crystals C1394 milligrams. So here, this is the crystallization. I comment again that so the next day, Thursday, a small crop of nice small crystals. So it will come out of solution with 0.1 molar salt and dialyzed it. And then Friday, there were flat plate crystals. The earlier ones didn't say what the shape was. And plus an amorphous precipitate. Continuing with this type of work. FCA1, A2, A2 for X-ray. No comment on what was being thought of there. I don't think I would have been thinking about doing X-ray diffraction experiment, but why it says for X-ray, it's not at all clear. On page 19, November 2nd, Thursday. Recovered 7 milligrams of washed dry crystalled on page 20, November 9th. Carboxymethyl cellulose column on the following day or so. Room temperature digest of the with one over 50 ppm. Trips in on the FC on November 7th. Different times of digest with no real, obviously, no obvious differences of the digestion. Page 27. Papain comments, number 8, thinking about where the cleavage might occur, etc. Possibly Papain cleavage point towards the end of the constant region where there was a sequence histidine, lysine, a possible cleavage point with trypsin. Various other thoughts of this type being considered on November 8th. Grams of serum were dialyzed against 4 liters of ammonium phosphate, pH 8.5, on November 8th. So, a large amount of material. And papain digests of this material on the following page. No significant differences. One could find of sustain positions or whether they're in disulfide bonds on FC papain 0 degrees centigrade crystals A2A2 7 milligrams that had never seen iodo acetamide, so 3 SH groups could still be there, or 7 milligrams of material. Both are crystals, crystals that had been exposed to iodoacetamide, to see if one could detect the difference in, with interpretations. And some interpretations and that FC4 is not correctly identified. November 13th. And here's some quite pretty gel on page 41 and 40, tests versus anti-A2 and anti-A1 in gamma 2 allotyping serum and various F1, F2, FC1, FC2, etc., FC5, all the different bands of the constant region. With a mysterious comment that no differences except 1A, Roman 1A and Roman 1B. Are either now reduced or papain was reactivated. Error on November 14th, the usual sort of error. No error, no DTE diethyl erythritol. Continuing to try to solve this protein purification and degradation, etc. And back to beta-2 microglobulin, DOG, and alpha-2 retinol binding protein on Thursday, November 16th. DOG serum, Harvey, and then the beta-2 from just DOG beta-2 from Dave Pooley. Very pure material, nice looking material. So alpha 2 retinol binding protein and pure human beta 2 and dog beta 2 all are different, but they're nice pure proteins. And here is the sequence now from the sequinator on page 55, where the sequence can be seen. Retinol binding protein, and the beta 2 sequence there, and there's some no similarity, of course, between the alpha retinol binding protein and the beta 2. This is getting close to another little story which may turn up in the next few pages. If not, I'll tell the story anyway. But at this point, this is just writing down sequences. So we'll remember page 54, book C. We might come back to that later. Working on Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, November 23rd. Still purifying FC fragments. An attempt to do a radioactive iodoacetamide on a pool of C47. Pool 3 C47 protein using C14 iodoacetamide to try to find where the which bands have a free SH group. But no comment on the results, although the results are given. Of the column and the counts. It was trying to work out the sequence in front of BZP, CV, RZP, SV, FIF, etc. On the sequinator. Some comments are there of what is not correct. Let's see what happens. Another strategy on Tuesday, December 12th. Reduce under mild conditions, add radioactive iodoacetamide, and then excess cold iodoacetamide, etc. And also excess protein, and no excess mercaptoethanol, and then try to find out what's happening. Peptide isolations, December 14th. Modified digests and so on, peptide isolation. Different fractions and from the columns B and lines. High voltage electrophoresis being carried out to 1,000 volts applied. All that could be recovered on this is on filter papers. Presumably. Cleaning up of fraction 4, C81, on page 93 of book C, cleaning up of that fraction. Sequence 615 looks promising. And the results are over the page. Various sequences being written down there. Presumably I'm either dictating to someone else because there's my writing in part, but all of the sequences are written in by hand by someone else. G100, etc., on different fractions, trying to purify material. January 19, heavy lambda experiment. This is a lambda bacteriophage, I remember at that time. Having a hypothesis of branched DNA and trying to find in the lab that I visited that there's some experiments that I think are referred to on January 23rd of a heavy lambda, that's bacteriophage lambda. I'm almost certain that this is in relation to experiments I was thinking of doing with Bill Dove to try to see replication forks and see if I could get a branched DNA. I had published a hypothesis that branched DNA might account for antibody variability, and we can look that up in a little while and find out where that was published about this time. So this was lambda C 60, 6 times 10 to the 10th, I'm sure that means 60 times 10 to the 10th plaques per total volume available, and try to get replication to go and then abort it and select the recombinants and try to propagate them again. These sort of replication forks have been seen by Przybylski, and so there's a comment that he uses 2.5 hours, I think that is, at 18,000 revolutions in 19 rotor, and Maria remembers 1.5 hours was okay. So the experiment was to test temperature-sensitive DNA mutants to see about 10% replication figures can be obtained. And the idea being to try to get DNA to make multiple forks. So indeed on the next page it says, I'm obviously talking to Bill Dobb because he recommends using CR34, a mutant, temperature-sensitive mutant. And Ross Inman uses the same strain and has all the protocol. And if one uses tritiated thymidine, it says that the notes say at 1 microcurie per microgram, then the phage is stable for months, and 10^8 phages can be counted okay. So I tried that, continuing that type of experiment on page 105. As usual, if I have a hypothesis, I always try to do experiments related to them. And this is an attempt to see whether my branched DNA idea had any merit. In relation, the experiment was related to testing a hypothesis that I had published in August of 1970. Here we are in 1972, trying to test the hypothesis published in 1970, pathways through networks of branched DNA. The idea being that you could get all the variable regions being multiple, and then a constant regions having gamma 1, gamma 2, mu and alpha being the different constant regions with variable numbers of pathways with the variable number, and so could get variability on one hand and constancy of the FCs on the other. Quite a nice idea, and I have a little glass model of this that was made by my friend anyway, a glass model of this I still have, which is a reminder of one hypothesis. There was another model, also a glass model, made of a later hypothesis, both of which I have. That one was made professionally, and the other was made by this lady friend. I might say a friend of my wife made. So anyway, trying to make these bacteriophages. Variations of the medium being tested and of the thymidine for the cultures. Eventually that the idea got to be making lambda DV, the defective variant. More sequences of the post gamma. This was from Dave Pulick of Post Gamma, trying to get sequences and not altogether that successful, but from the look of it. Here's an experiment talking about using heavy water, a repeat of the heavy water experiment. But it doesn't say anything about the details, so it's a little impenetrable. Different mutants being looked at and titrated on page 113, and using different bacteria, C600, which was a suppressor 2 plus threonine leucine minus minus, most lambda will grow on it, and then C594. Equally useful, but suppressor minus, so mutants will not grow well on them. But I'm accumulating some experience with bacteriophage lambda mutants, which later on, when we get to the time of gene targeting, this experience with the mutants was helpful in letting me work with, quite happily, with a bacteriophage that did or did not have suppressor mutants in them. So experience with mutant bacteriophages is quite valuable. The indicator was, and here's another thing that has a repercussion later, the indicator was tryptophan broth bacteria grown to saturation and resuspended in a buffer, TM. And later on found that a rather critical note that we'll come to quite a bit later in about book Gamma or Delta, that it was important not to use saturation, the bacteria grown to saturation, but to use bacteria that were in the exponential phase. So here are little things of this sort that are building up experience that later on becomes quite important. Magnesium tris buffer and lambda suspension medium formulas for these important reagents in working with bacteriophages. SM suspension medium for preserving lambda is another recipe that is needed if one's going to keep the phages for any length of time. Getting help from a person, Carol, mentioned several times, but I'm afraid I don't remember who Carol was. She was probably Bill Dove's technician. I might be able to find that out. And here's an experiment with deuterium, the heavy phage that I was mentioning. A test with CR34, which is lambda C1854 mutant evident. Maria started at a 30 degree culture in deuterated sugar so that it would be getting heavy as a result of deuterium to try to separate by deuterium mass changes. It was obviously the idea. Not going to be easy, I'm sure. So here is an attempt to do that. Titration of lambda C187 lysate from water, thymidine, water broth. Experiment C129, and also from deuterium oxide broth on the two pages on 130 and 131. I got the titer from the deuterium experiments of 3 × 10⁷, whereas the water experiment I got a titer of 9 × 10⁹. So about 3,000 or 300 times more when grown in water than when grown in deuterium oxide. More protein sequencing on C95 from fraction 2 lithium iodo salicylate treated material. At last we're getting to lambda DV now. So Tuesday, January 30th, lambda DV, which is much smaller and easier to handle than lambda itself, to try the latest Hognes method and also unreadable pettigen made. Pettigen and Hognes had made these phages, all these defective virions. They weren't phages, they were plasmids. We would now think of them as simple plasmids. And they had been used in electron microscopy. So a lambda DV assay on January 31st, 1973. I obtained, it says, received on Tuesday, KM424, rec minus, lambda DV, etc., etc., from Sid Hayes as a slant and inoculated it. And titrated, estimated at 5 × 10⁹, and grew up overnight. Learning also to make replicates of bacterial cultures using sterile velvet, where one would take an imprint of the bacterial plate and capture enough bacteria that one can replicate the plate on several other clean plates. Repeating the titration of lambda 029P3, etc. Indicator stock C600. Replicated on harder agar. And then getting to lambda DV DNA tests on February the 1st. Attempt without DNA precipitation. Ross, I think that's Ross Ingram, tells me that the DNA must have for lambda an OD of greater than 0.05, but greater than or equal to 0.05, between 0.05 and 0.01 optical density for convenient spreading without dilution. Gives an optical density of 10 equivalent to 4 times 10 to the 12th lambda dg per mil. 0.1 is equivalent to 4 times 10 to the 10th lambda per mil. Assuming 50 monomers per bacteria, etc., etc., this goes on. But the experiment ends up by saying it didn't lies. It didn't lies. So use log cultures. Use logarithmically growing cultures. Again, an idea that later on became important. An assay, still on the following page, 145, still negative. Try colonies, etc., etc. Didn't work again. Sporadic resistant colonies. Because they're looking for resistance, that the lambda DV, I think, was carrying a suppressor gene, unless I'm mistaken. So here on page 147, I'm trying to make lambda DV again with logarithmic cultures, OD about 0.9. equivalent to 3 times 10 to the 8th per mil on tea broth, quickly chilled, etc., etc., and onto sucrose, lysozyme, magnesium, and taking them up in sucrose and adding lysozyme and magnesium and a neutral detergent bridge. The viscosity quickly increased, so some E. coli is present, DNA, etc., etc. And then added predigested pronase, and the viscosity immediately went to water-like, etc. Spreading tests of the lambda DV on page 149, nothing visible. Ross says, due to bridge 58 getting into the film. And there we end this book. With an experiment that has not yet worked.